The next case this morning is number 042415, Blevins against Bartels. Mr. McNutt.
Good morning. May it please the court. On May 2nd, 1995, John Blevins and his wife were renting three lots. And it's the court will recall that this was remanded to the district court to assemble the evidence about the circumstances about the property, what happened on the day of the seizure, and that kind of thing.
Well, the remand... I'm obviously a different Judge Wood from the one who was on this panel, who considered this case before, was more specifically to see factually whether the area was within the curtilage of the house, because given GM leasing, the Fourth Amendment warrant issue went out the window, but the privacy curtilage issues were still there, so that's what the district court looked into on remand.
That's exactly correct. And I direct the court to the brief, which I assembled in the brief as many of the photographs and the diagrams that we pretty much stipulated to with the government before Judge Mim.
And these are the photographs, though, aren't they, that Judge Mim points out are from some 8 years later?
Yes, they are, Your Honor.
So they're not, well, they're of limited utility given... If the point you're trying to make is how much is visible, obviously plants grow, unless I'm growing them. I have a black thumb. But plants do grow, and I'm not sure how much benefit these pictures are.
Well, Your Honor, I would point out Plaintiff's Exhibit UW, which is this diagram of the property. Mm-hmm. Now, this was not contested. No one contested this diagram. And this shows the property of John Blevins and his wife. They were living in an area that had been platted. It was called Ritchie's. It was Ritchie's Heights subdivision, and he and his wife were renting lots 4, 5, and 6 of that subdivision. And that's the entire property that he was renting is in black there. And the part that Judge Mim focused on was just the little part that's in red, Exhibit A of the stipulation. And I think the reason Judge Mim did that is that that diagram had been created, sure, back at the time of trial. That was one of the exhibits of trial. But I think what helps the court with respect to the additional evidence that was taken is to see that there was a lot more property there that he was renting. And everything to the south half of that property, the property in total is 300 feet, roughly 300 feet along William Street, and it's 400 feet deep. The back half of that property was pretty much woods. It was woods then. It was woods at the time the pictures were taken. It's still woods. In fact, it's actually a ravine. Then the property just to the east was the pasture ground. And there's a picture of that little pasture in one of the photographs. That has not changed.
But the part that's outlined in red is what corresponds to Exhibit A?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And that's Exhibit A is only that little sliver of the entire property.
But why is that relevant, given the fact that curtilage really refers to those areas of the house that are of the property that are so close to the house, they're sort of functionally the same thing as the house. And what Judge Mim finds as a fact is that the area where these items were seized from is behind a small chain link fence. It's separated. There's no evidence that there's any kind of living going on in this area that Exhibit A designates with the flatbed trailer and the pickup truck and so on and so forth.
Well, I'd like to focus right on that question, and that is what Judge Mim was looking at United States versus Dunn.
Right. One Supreme of the Court decision.
Very important decision. And he was saying what one of the criteria is what use was the property being used for. Now, remember, in Dunn, however, the property was being used for a meth lab. And there was trucks coming to the property that had chemicals that the police were following.
But why is it relevant that it was illegal? I mean, I thought that Dunn is talking about is this used for those intimate living functions as opposed to, you know, running your office or running, you know, your carpentry. I mean, I realize that it was illegal, but the court doesn't place any particular stress on that.
Well,
just that those are often the cases where these questions come up. The people are growing marijuana on part of their property, or they're running meth labs or whatever. Nobody's saying Mr. Blevins did anything like that, but...
But if that's the case, all backyards, a garage, an individual that had a backyard, had a garage, had a shed, that's true for all those.
Well, those require intimate use, though, use by the house itself, as opposed to a shed which stores things some distance removed. It's visible from the road. You can see everything. There's no expectation of privacy in there.
Well, Justice Power, when we talk about use in that context, we're talking here. The property is this area.
You tried to equate it with a yard or a back or attached or semi-attached garage or a detached garage, even on a small piece of property, and they're two different things, aren't they?
I don't believe so in this case. That's the reason I have these photographs in here. If you look at...
The photographs.
If you look at the plaintiff's LL, that's the first photograph where you actually see his house.
Mm.
Then if you turn the page, you then come to the opening between the shrubberies on the front of his house. The shrubberies, everybody agrees, the shrubbery was there back in 1995. It was there when this picture was taken. It's still there today. Now, whether it was 14 feet or whether it was 8 feet, I can see, okay, let's say it was 8 feet tall back in 95. If you have to, you're looking at his property, you're looking at the driveway going down to his house, down to this area where the property was seized. You have to go back by his house. The agents had to roll onto this property. They had to fill up this driveway here, and then they went into the backyard, the back part of his property, a small part of the back property, back of his property, and that's where they seized the items. And this was not contraband. This was not weapons. This was not. This isn't a terrorist. This is a law-abiding person using his property as one would expect him to use it. He doesn't do business in the backyard because he's a handyman. I refer the court to United States versus Redmond, which is the case that the court decided en banc with regard to the garbage sitting at the head of the driveway. And if you read the discussion of this court in Redmond, the wide-ranging of opinion that you had just with regard to a garbage can sitting at the head of the driveway, certainly this goes well beyond this. This goes back beyond his house.
That garbage can was found, though, to be outside the curtilage, even though it was practically bumping the house. I mean, that's why the court had so many different opinions. And certainly, had it been behind a chain-link fence in an area devoted to storage sheds, one of the things the court stresses in Redmond is these are very factually dependent cases. It might have been different.
And I think that's correct. And I think one thing that I discern from Redmond, and this is just me, but reading the various the dissent, the concurrence, and the majority opinion, you also have to look at what the agents were doing to determine curtilage.
You're also using up your rebuttal time.
And I don't want to do that, so, okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. McNutt. We'll hear now from Ms. Richard.
May it please the Court, Nadine Wickern for the Illinois Department of Revenue Agents, Bartell, Bay, and McGregor. There are two grounds on which this court may affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment to the agents, the first being that the area was outside the curtilage of Mr. Blevins' home, and the second being that even if this court were to conclude that the trailers were within the curtilage, that the agents here, given the facts of this case, were entitled to qualified immunity. Under all four of the factors set forth by the Supreme Court in Dunn, the trailers that were seized from Mr. Blevins' property fall outside the curtilage area, weighing all the factors. The first, the area
now,
was not...
Could I just pause for a moment on the standard of review?
Yes.
You're indicating in your brief that because this is summary judgment to the Department of Revenue agents, that our standard of review is de novo in the sense that we have to ask the question, could any reasonable trier of fact think that this area was within the curtilage, I suppose. So you have to say no one could think that.
Correct.
All right.
And also, as well,
no
as
reasonable person.
No reasonable person. Well, no reasonable officer. As far as the standard of review, in this case, even if this court were inclined to decide that the clearly erroneous and de novo standards apply, as in the French case or in the Brisa case that this court had noted in its footnote in the prior opinion, the facts here are not disputed. So we are presented with a legal question that's reviewed de novo anyway. So the court need not even reach the dispute as to whether the Fourth Circuit's Brisa case creates a conflict and which side this court would decide on.
Should we be concerned about the vagueness of the distance of these things? The district judge says the only thing he can tell from the record is that the seized trailers were located less than 200 feet from the house. And less than could mean anything, from 6 inches away from the house on up to 200 feet away. Is that an ambiguity that should concern us?
No, Your Honor, and there are two reasons for that. The first is the drawing Exhibit A, and the facts that we know about that. We know that the total property is 200 feet long. We also know that the driveway, which leads right to the storage area, is 100 feet long. From that, even if, you know, putting aside the district court's reservation of not fully deciding that factor, the house, which is up near the front, is somewhere between probably, within the 100 feet that the driveway is from the area. Even if this court were to find that the 75 feet that was suggested by Blevins and the district court were correct, that would still put that factor weighing against the finding of curtilage. But even if this court were to believe that the 75 feet were within the curtilage, it would have to consider the other factors in the balance as well, because distance is only one of the four factors in the balance.
Looking at Exhibit A, it's marked as plaintiff's exhibit. Was there a stipulation that this is basically to scale?
There was no stipulation that it was to scale, and the district court notes that in its footnote, yeah. Which is why I think the court reserved fully deciding that factor. But there was a stipulation that the gravel road was 100 feet and that the total property, as far as Exhibit A, is 200 feet long.
Mm-hmm. And there's no dispute about the fact of the chain link fence that separates the area where the trailer, et cetera, were found?
No, there's no dispute that the chain link fence separates the area, and it is not also a fence that encloses the house, as the court in Dunn or in Brisa, in the Fourth Circuit's opinion, noted that when a fence is surrounding a separate area that doesn't include the house, this weighs against finding that the area was within the curtilage. Also, the fact that the fence is see-through and short also weighs in favor of finding that the area was outside the curtilage, because a passerby could see this area. And in fact, in this case, Mr. Bay, who went out to observe the property, was able to get the license plate numbers from the trailers and boats using binoculars off William Street Road in this case. So weighing all four factors, as the district court did and as this court will, the only conclusion from the facts is that the area was outside the curtilage. And again, even if this court were to decide otherwise and balance the factors another way, which Mr. Blevins never offers the court an alternative way to balance the factors in his briefs or at argument today, the agents here are entitled to qualified immunity because the law was not clearly established as of May 1995, nor today, which Mr. Blevins even acknowledged when he was referencing this court's opinion in Redmond. If the court has no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wicker. How much time does Mr. Bunat have?
1.5 minutes,
sir. Thank you.
May it please the court, focusing again on, and I think this is really where Judge Mim erred, and that was you must look at what the agents were doing when you decide a curtilage issue. In Dunn, what were the agents doing? They came on the property. They were following the smell of the chemicals. They looked into the shed. They saw the lab. They went out and got a warrant. That's what they did. If factually, this case is very close to the Deffenbaugh case, as cited by counsel in the briefs. Deffenbaugh was also an individual that wasn't committing a crime. The police came to his property looking for stolen property. He wasn't home. So they came on the property. They looked into his garage. The court said that's curtilage. Even the dissent, and we get back to Redmond, again, I think the court, reading the various opinions, was you have to look at what the agents were doing. And there they took the garbage. That's all they did. And they took it from the head of the driveway. The dissent said that was curtilage. The majority opinion says we got to look at all the circumstances as a whole. The conduct of the agents, it's not unreasonable to believe that somebody would come by and take your garbage. In this case, it's unreasonable to believe somebody's going to come down your drive, go in the backyard, and seize your property. If the backyard in this case is not curtilage, where is the curtilage on John Blevins' property? Is it on the porch? The deputies were up on the porch. Is it over by where that car is sitting in the photograph? The deputies, the revenue agents were over there. This is, you look at the conduct of the agents, and this was a Fourth Amendment violation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nutt. Our thanks to both counsel.